Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good morning. And it's always nice to bring back an old friend and one of whom I have vivid memories of in our past radio broadcasting experience. I had the pleasure to meet him personally. Hey, thanks for that great invite to the party. Lawrence Lehmer. He's the New York Times best-selling author of more than a dozen books, including The Kennedy Women and The Price of Justice. His experience is rather diverse. He worked in a French factory in a West Virginia coal mine and was a Peace Corps volunteer. His play Rose, I just got the dates, it'll be appearing in Chicago. I hope to be there. It was produced off-Broadway last year. The name of the current book, The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan, and it is published by William Morrow in hardcover. And Larry, great to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I mean, another terrific book. You know, I was about to use the word epic, and it's in the subtitle, but another really a book for the times, The Lynching. What was the genesis of you writing this book? We've heard so much about violence and segregation and Jim Crow and all the things that went on in the South and the racial conflict today. Is it a reflection of what's going on today that brought you back to this?
Well, you think about it. Lynching, from about 1870 till 1955, there was an average of about little over one lynching a week of black people through the South. Okay, so this was the way African Americans were controlled, because psychologically there was always that fear. This could happen to me. Imagine if you were a black mother. How do you raise your son? Do you raise him to stand tall and walk bold, or do you teach him to get off the sidewalk when a white person comes by and takes off his cap? If you want him to live, you probably did the latter. But 1955 was the last lynching, and then 25 years later, in March 1981, a 19-year-old black teenager, Michael Donald, was lynched in Mobile, Alabama, and that's what my book is about.
Yeah, the book is intriguing. It's really a character study as well, featuring three characters, Morris Deese, Governor George Wallace, and the head of the Klan, boy, one evil guy, Robert Shelton. A little bit of a portrayal and how those three had some confluence and entered the mix together.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is they're all Morris Deese, who's the founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and George Wallace, both have law degrees from the University of Alabama. And Robert Shelton, the imperial wizard of the United Klans of America, was a pre-law student at the University of Alabama. Morris Deese started out as a segregationist. His father was a tenant farmer. He was a segregationist. In 1958, he dropped out of law school for a semester to work as George Wallace's student campaign manager the first time he ran for governor And 3 years later, Morrissey was the lawyer for the most for the head of the Montgomery Klan, who viciously beat up freedom riders when they came in the bus in Montgomery. But he changed his attitude and became very much in favor of integration and founded the Southern Poverty Law Center. And he then ended up suing the Klan and suing Robert Shelton to break the Klan. That's what the book is about.
Yeah, and a lot of high risk there. Several threats on Morris D's life. I think one at his ranch when a security guard kind of hustled off a couple of Klansmen coming after him. He was really, in the latter half there of his life, rather principled to do this. I mean, how many people would risk life and limb to do such a thing? How did he skirt the issues? Was he always protected?
Well, he didn't. You know, he didn't. He's a strange guy. I mean, he's he liked to be Atticus Fitch, the heroic lawyer in *To Kill a Mockingbird*. But he's more like Oscar Schindler in that film. Oscar Schindler is this sort of egocentric, womanizing, greedy guy who ends up saving thousands of Jews. I mean, he's a real human being. And Morris is a complex person, and he just saw this was wrong. He had to have security because these people are coming out to try to kill him. Even now he has security.
And it was also what you call a synergistic relationship here. Even though Governor Wallace at the time, George Wallace, held on to the segregation philosophy and ideology in order to ensure support, he had this kind of unholy alliance with Shelton, who was hell-bent on maintaining the status of the Klan and their objectives. Well, Wallace had a much more realistic outlook. Was that predicated on him just wanting to hold on to his political position?
Well, the interesting thing about Wallace is a very smart man, okay? Poor kid, he grows up, he goes to law school, struggles. He sees that segregation is going to end. He knows with the Supreme Court decision 1954 integrating the schools, he knew it was going to end. But he realized, he understood the white working class in Alabama in the South, their feelings, and he decides, if I'm going to be for segregation, I'm going to be the most militant pro-segregation politician in the South. I can rise. I can become governor. There's no telling how high I can rise. So for him, it was a really cynical thing that he was doing, and he used the Klan. I mean, the Southern establishment said, oh, the Klan, they were bad, they're not us. But the Klan did the dirty work for the establishment.
The price here, the outcome in a trial prior to the murder of this poor kid was that the Klan was somewhat untouchable, and even the mighty do fall. And in that initial trial, how surprising was it that the verdict came out against the Klan, and how berserk, if I can use that word, did Robert Shelton go?
Well, originally, look, when this lynching took place in 1981 in Mobile, the Mobile establishment didn't want to admit that a lynching had taken place in their beautiful city. They thought that might happen in Birmingham or Montgomery, some of these cities that had a bad image, and Mobile had a good image. And so three young men initially were arrested for this crime. They were totally innocent. They could have gone to prison. They could have been executed for something they didn't do. If the feds hadn't gotten, and a lot of states' rights, talk about states' rights, and states' rights is usually just a code word for segregationist policies. In this instance, it's the federal government and the Justice Department, Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, didn't get involved and come down to Mobile. They never would have caught two young Klansmen who murdered Michael Donald. And one of them took a federal plea, was sentenced to life imprisonment. The other was put on trial in Mobile before an all-white jury, and he was convicted of murder, and he eventually was executed.
And we're going to have to pick this up after a break if you don't have enough time for a response on this. But what did your research reveal in this book that was otherwise shocking or unknown or new to the public who will be picking up a copy of this? which, by the way, is published date is today, so go out and get a copy. What was it here that will enlighten people?
Well, I think, I'm a northerner. I've been down, I've written about the South before, but I spent a lot of months down there, and I just had no idea the extent of this evil system. I mean, Barack Obama calls slavery the original sin, American sin, and it truly was. And you see how these people were treated. You see that in the beginning of the 20th century, there were about 160,000 African Americans in Alabama who had the vote. And the political and economic establishment didn't like that. So they wrote a new constitution that said if you had to vote, you had to have $300 40 acres of land. And that basically disenfranchised all but 4,000 black Alabamans. At the end of World War II, Alabamans who'd fought in the war or been in the war industries had the money or the land so they could vote. So they put a new law in that said you had to pass this test about the American Constitution if you wanted to vote. If you were a black person, no matter how much you knew about the Constitution, in a lot of those counties, you would come in there and they wouldn't let you have the vote. And that's how pernicious this system was and why it basically took the federal government to break it.
You can stick around for another segment, can't you, Larry?
I sure can.
All right, want to have you return. The name of the book is The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. Lawrence Leamer, New York Times bestselling author, and without causing any red face, a brilliant author. The book is published by William Morrow. We'll be back.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time. See stores. Staples.com for details.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
Hi, I'm Harvey McKay, and author of Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. I can't thank you enough, Stu. The interview, I didn't like it. I loved it. And I love the way you change lives. I love the way you prepare to win, the way you do your homework. I like to surround myself with winners, and really look forward to having dinner with you in Boston very, very soon. Best of luck to you.
All right, lots of endorsements on the book by Lawrence Lehmer, who's joining us, truly a brilliant writer. And his new book is The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. William Morrow is the publisher. The published date is today. Go out and get a copy. I was just telling Lawrence that I'm off for a little vacation, and I'm going to finish this book on that vacation. All right. Let's move fast forward, if we could, from back in the days of the Klan and its evolution, George Wallace, up to today's present day, and of course the controversial everything is a controversy surrounding not only Hillary Clinton but Donald Trump as well, and all of a sudden the support coming out of David Duke, a well-known racist and former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard. A comment on that and Trump. I don't want to make this a conversation about the presidential race, but a comment on that and where the Klan is today. It still exists.
Well, the Klan exists, but just in small numbers. That's one thing the Southern Poverty Law Center did because of this lawsuit against the United Klans of America. They destroyed the Klan in my book. That's standing in my book, the biggest Klan group. And since then, the Southern Poverty Law Center has gone after a lot of these groups. So the larger groups are gone, but there's small individuals like that individual from Charleston, South Carolina, that went in the church and killed a group of black people. Okay, there's still racists out there. There's still this feeling in America. It's still there. And I don't think of Donald Trump as a racist, but I think he attracts people like that. There's no question.
Yeah, and I mean, an amazing story in and of itself. What was the heart of the case? Back to Dee's case. What was the heart of the case that resulted in the indictment and conviction of not only those two small players committing horrifically huge deeds on the murder? What was the basis of the argument there and for Shelton as well?
Well, Morrissey's came down and sat in the courtroom as this young man was on trial for the murder and was convicted and later sentenced to die, okay? And he thought, well, these are just, as you say, these aren't just the small-time players. One of the killers is only 17 years old. Where did they get these ideas? They got their ideas from Robert Shelton. They also got them in a way from George Wallace, okay? They got them from this climate. And Shelton was the one that's promoting these things, but he always kept his distance from it. And Morrissey's thought, what if I sue the United Klans of America? What if I sue them for fostering this philosophy of violence? Everybody else said he was crazy to do this, including the five other lawyers from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They didn't like that they were they were threatened to be killed. They didn't like they had to have security, and they left. They quit rather than deal with it. But he persevered, and in 1987, in a courtroom, got a $7 million verdict that destroyed the United Clans of America.
Yeah, that was my next question. Did that $7 million effectively, was that the breaking point?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the Klan only had about a building that was turned out to be 50,000, but that was enough to destroy them and send Shelton into retirement. Now, Wallace, when Wallace was a four-term governor of Alabama. In his fourth term, he was sitting in his mansion with one of his aides, and he said, "You know, I'm going to go to hell. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell." And his aide said, "No, Governor, you're born again. You're born again Christian. You're not going to go to hell." He said, "I'm afraid I am, because I've said these hateful words. I've said these words that have led to the death of people." And he realized words matter. You can't get up and say these things, and they provoke people and they cause trouble. And that's what politicians have to learn. Words matter.
Yeah, they certainly do, and that's a warning I give out to everyone here. Never say anything on a phone or put anything in an email. I've never put anything in an email that could be traced back. I may have these deep, dark thoughts, but I don't put them down. What's the statement you'd like to make on the civil rights movement? Have we taken 3, 4, 5 steps back? And again, I don't want to make this political, but I think we have a huge setback in racism in this country, and a lot of it you can point the finger directly at an illustrious leader in office, the Supreme Leader, Barack Obama.
Well, okay. A lot of young black intellectuals are writing saying that things are just as bad as they ever were. Okay. I don't see that at all. I mean, yeah, we got a long ways to go. My book ends at there's a museum in Montgomery, the Civil Rights Museum. And I was there one day there was a group of a family reunion. They were from African Americans in Lourdes County, which is one of the worst counties. You want to be black and live in the South, that's about the worst place to live. And these people are coming back to a different South. It's a very different place now where African Americans can go wherever they want. It's still there's still a long ways to go, but we have to appreciate the efforts that were made for so long. So many of them even forgotten. We talk about the first bus boycott. 1955-56 in Montgomery, but you know what? The real first bus boycott was in 1903. That's the time when these Jim Crow laws first came in. This is the time when the water fountains thing, colored only, started coming up. This is the time when black people no longer could go to restaurants frequented by whites. And the transit system in Mobile was segregated for the first time. And for a year, the black people of Mobile walked rather than ride their transit system. That's just lost to history. That's just a part of the epic struggle for freedom that African Americans had for hundreds of years.
All right, we have less than a minute, so there isn't time for me to formulate a question other than to say, what would you like to say that we haven't covered during this interview? And if you can incorporate that into a closing statement as well, it would be great.
Well, it's just that this is a struggle that we've had as the people. We have as individuals. We have in our own souls. But we're slowly getting there. The individual has to change, and America has to change. And we have to look truthfully and honestly. We can't say just because a white police officer isn't shoots a black person that it's necessarily racism. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. We have to make the effort individually, and we have to make the effort as journalists.
All right, not only regarding race, but regarding politics in general and what I think we're facing. I almost see a revolution coming in this country, and thanks for bringing us a real touch of a reminder of what happened that created events that have forever in a way shaped American history. Lawrence Lehmer, the lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. It's been a pleasure. Stay on right after the break, Larry.
Okay.
We're gonna
Thank you
on.
Very much.
All right. This is Stu Taylor.
Mm-hmm. here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces too for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
biztalkradio.com. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, it's Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, the chairman of Revolution and Case Foundation, the author of a new book called The Third Wave, and I enjoyed talking about the book with Stu Taylor on the show.
All right, we move along on a very busy morning here. We're now joined by Robert Miller. The name of the book is Unconventional Love Affair. And it is published by Ex Libris. You can go to exlibris.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And congratulations on your book. Welcome. It's nice to have you on.
Oh, thanks, Stu. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you on. And a little bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Okay, well, about the book, it's a fictional romance. The story takes place in the year 2005. As the story opens, 25-year-old Brad Wilson has just returned to the U.S. from 3 years of combat duty with the U.S. Army in Iraq. He'll be starting his last 2 years of college at State University somewhere in the Los Angeles area. The other principal character is recently divorced, soon-to-be 37-year-old Linda Wallace. Linda has an 18-year-old daughter, Diane, who will be leaving home and starting her freshman year at Stanford soon. That means Linda's going to be an empty nester, so she decides to go back to school at State University and finish her last 2 years. Linda and Brad meet in a required class. They're assigned to the same research project team, which means they get to work together outside of class. Linda initially thinks Brad would be a good find for Diane, but guess what? They become intimate, and that leads to many unpredictable and humorous situation since they initially tried to keep their romance a secret.
All right, we don't want to tell too much more about the book. It sounds intriguing. By the way, I want to give out your website, which is diamond604.com, if you want to check this out. Have you written before? What spurred you to write this book? There's so many fictional books are predicated a little bit, and I'm not trying to get into your personal life, but they're predicated on one's personal life. Just out of the blue here, is this anything that you're relating to something in your personal life or someone else's?
Well, this is not an autobiography or biography. It's actually a compilation of several stories and incidents that I've experienced or that other people have told me about over time. The reason for writing the book, I guess, was I found that I'm retired, so I found I had some time, and I wanted to start a hobby that I could perform at home, and it seemed like a good idea to write a book.
Yeah, you also had mentioned to me off here that it was, in a sense, there were difficult times writing the book under difficult conditions. Could you expound upon that?
Well, yeah, you know, this is my first book. I didn't know anything about writing a book, but before I started, I did a little bit of non-scientific research. I determined that most fictions are about, 400 to 500 pages, about 20 chapters, and between 150,000 and 200,000 words. So I said, okay, my book's going to be 20 chapters, 160,000 words, 8,000 words a chapter. And I started writing. Pretty soon I got to what I thought would be a good place to end chapter one and did a word count. I hit 2,000 words. That's when I figured it's going to be more difficult than I thought.
You know, when you look at the typical book, which has 60,000 words, wow. It's really quite an endeavor, and I've been through it, so I know it. Do you have advice for people wanting to start or finish their first novel?
Sure. Advice is keep at it. In my case, I actually stopped after about 2 years. I got discouraged. There's a couple of reasons. I took an adult class on writing a book, and it seemed like it was going to be so difficult, I'd never finish it. However, after about 6 years, I went back and finished it. So my advice is keep at it, don't get discouraged, and whatever you're writing about, the thoughts will come after a while.
The competition out there is it's really stirring. More and more people publish books a year. There may be, I think, a million books a year published here. The key word is the hook. What's the hook that should get people to buy this book? Because the choice is infinite.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I knew I had to have my book stand out from others, and wanted to make it unconventional. And the unconventional part is that Linda, the principal female character, is 12 years older than Brad. I believe that's a little bit unusual. And the other part was I wanted to make Brad a combat veteran and someone scheduled to go back into the military. And again, that would be unusual. And that, and of course, my theme in the book was women can find love and romance with younger men. So I thought that might draw a larger audience.
Yeah, is there a follow-up book, a sequel in mind? You know, every writer dreams about a movie, and you know the probability is not great. But what about you? I want to find out what's driving you.
Yeah, actually, I purposely led the end of the book somewhat open. You know, at the end of the book, without going into a lot of detail, Linda's parents move in with her. She's got a big house. Her daughter, Diane, comes home unexpectedly, saying she's dropping out of college. And then Larry, her ex-husband, wants to divorce his trophy wife, wants to remarry her, and wants to spend Christmas with her in her house. Of course, by then, Brad's living with her, so that makes it really awkward. And I leave a lot of things open. We don't know if Linda's going to go back to Larry, whether he's going to stay with Brad, whether she's going to go back to Larry and still have time for Brad. And then if she stays with Brad, if Diane shows up, how is she going to relate to Brad since they're only about 6 years apart? So it lends itself to having a sequel.
Is there any age demographic this book is geared for, or gender demographic?
Probably the primary age would be middle-aged, maybe 30 to maybe even as high as 40. As far as women are concerned, as far as the men are concerned, I think it would appeal to a lot of veterans and active duty military. It would be actually any age from the 20 on up to about 40, 45.
Robert, is there a message or subtle messages that you'd like people to take away after they read this book?
Well, a couple of things. Since, you know, I made the principal character a military veteran, I was able to say what I think are nice things about the military. I wanted to maybe change the opinion of some people about people that, you know, have been in combat. They don't all come back with post-traumatic stress disorder. They're able to revert to a normal civilian life. And the other thing, of course, is that people are changing now. Social values are changing now. It's not a stigma to, you know, to have a woman older than a man. That's never been a stigma to have a man older than a woman in romance. So I think people shouldn't be ashamed if they find themselves in that type of a situation.
I'm trying to dig a little deep here out of curiosity. Are you a military veteran?
Yeah, well, actually, it's a little bit misleading. I was in the Marine Corps for 2 years, and then I got in an automobile accident, and I was retired. However, four of my brothers were in the Marine Corps, and they were all in combat in one war or another, so they were able to relate a number of stories, not just of combat, but of life in the military.
All right. What was more difficult in writing the book, creating the characters or following the difficult course of creating a story?
Well, probably creating a story. I'm an accountant, and I put together an outline, you know, and I thought for every chapter, I thought, oh, here's what I'm going to talk about in every chapter. The difficult part for me was writing the woman's side of it, you know. I had never had an experience with being a woman.
There's more and more talk about transgenders. Man, I don't want to bring humor into
it. No, that's not in the book. I didn't want to do that, that's for sure. But that part was a little bit more difficult. Also, I didn't want to hit the military too hard. I just, you know, actually, it's mentioned several times, but it's not like it's not certainly not the theme of the book.
How would you describe your writing style? A lot of people say, "Gee, I'm interested. I had to do it writing by hand. It just worked better for me that way." Although other people use a computer. How did you do this?
I used a computer. I used Microsoft Word, and I didn't know if I had to have a special computer program to write a book or not. Turns out I didn't. Microsoft Word worked out quite well, and you know, fortunately, I can type. That helps a lot. But I find that I made a lot of mistakes. I had to go back and redo a lot of things. My style is basically I told the story as opposed to being the first person in the story, and again, I tried to use a lot of humor in the book to keep people's attention. And, you know, I tried to make it interesting and informative. I wanted it to, you know, convey a positive message. something people could understand, and I wanted to make it believable. So I tried to do all that when I was writing the book.
Do you anticipate, other than a sequel for this one, of writing on a different subject, different genre, or are you pretty much locked into the same kind of theme that you did on this book?
Well, my thoughts are I'd just like to continue the story, so to speak. As I said, I left the opening in the book that would allow me to start up again and answer the questions, the open questions. And then in my mind, I've got a lot of other thoughts about random and to stay together. What they would be doing over the next couple of years, what would happen when Brad graduates and he's got to go back in the military.
All right, well, stay tuned for the sequel, but that's all by this one, Unconventional Love Affair, Robert Miller, Ex Libris. A pleasure having you on, Robert.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right,
thank
we're going to break. Come back with our final segment. This is Stu Taylor.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
For life's sakes and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship. In with Bill Pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time. See store or staples.com for details.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Real life stories of the Legal Exchange, Saturdays noon to 1, a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is Charlie Gasparino, senior correspondent for Fox News and the Fox Business Network. Thanks to Stu Taylor for a great interview.
All right, I'd like to introduce Alicia Brady Smith. The book is written with Debbie Bell. The name of it is Thread, and it is published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. Alicia, welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right, the title, I guess, almost tells it all, but why don't you talk about a story which started out with joy and celebration and turned into a nightmare. Tell us about it.
Yes, when this book is really an autobiography about a few years of my life and a story about sorrow, but yet a story about victory and triumph and joy. And it starts off when I was a kid and just goes through my childhood. And I grew up in a small town where things were very simple. Grew up in a loving and supportive family. And when I was about 6 years old, I started dancing, and I immediately fell in love with that, and that became a huge passion in my life. And I spent most of my childhood and my teenage years doing that and training. And my parents would drive me an hour and a half both ways to be able to train with the best around in my area. And eventually I decided that I wanted to go to college for dance. And I was able to go to the University of Arizona School of Dance, which is in Tucson, which at the time was ranked the number 3 dance school in the nation. And so needless to say, I had put in a lot of time and effort. But like you said, it was really a joyful time in my life, and I seemed to be living my dreams. And
what happened then?
One night when I was in college, I had actually just finished a dance show, and I was out with my friends. And being 21 and being young and naive and not aware of where I should have been, I just happened to get caught in the crossfire of a gang fight, and I was shot through the liver with an AK-47.
I could say how bad was it, but just saying what happens tells the story. How close were you to death? Is that representative of the title of the book?
Yes. Well, when I arrived there, initially, I only had a 1% chance of survival, and that was just the very beginning of what would be many, many surgeries. I've had a total of 15 abdominal surgeries, and that was just my initial rival. And when you are in a situation like that, and of course, at first, the detectives didn't know if I was involved or not, and so just being cautious, and later on down the road, they found out I wasn't involved, and I would just happen to be at the wrong place and the wrong time. But in order to protect my identity, because oftentimes in those situations when it is gang-related, they will try to find you in the hospital and come back and finish the job. And so in order to keep my identity protected, they just picked a random name, and that's the name I went by my entire stay at the hospital, and that name was Thread.
How are you doing today? Are you fully recovered? You'll never be fully recovered. How are you dealing with it, and what's life like?
I am doing wonderful for all things considered. I've had, throughout the years, I've continued to have surgeries and medical issues, but I'm still able to still dance, and I with that moving a lot, that's been very, very helpful in my recovery. And there are things that just my lifestyle has completely changed, and I've just had to adapt to that. And it's not going to change back, but that's something that I've accepted. And all things considered, I'm doing great.
You have a family. Are you working?
I do. I work. I'm actually a music teacher. And I also teach dance, and I coach our high school dance team, and I have three kids, and
wow,
I'm married, and so, yes, yeah, so I'm doing well, and I'm healthy, and again, all things considered, I'm very blessed.
Oh, it sounds like a great ending and continuing of the good news. Did they find the people who perpetrated the crime, and if so, what happened to them?
Unfortunately, they never prosecuted anyone. They had a young man in custody who was 17 years old, and about a year after it happened, the detective pulled me in to talk to me about the case, and they basically said, well, we are 90% sure that this is who did it. However, we don't have enough evidence, and so the case was closed.
What has this book meant to you? And have you had people who have had similar experiences to yours reach out to you after reading the book?
I haven't had people, I would say, with that necessarily that similar of an experience. However, I have had many people reach out to me because people can relate on the level of, you know, life is hard and there's suffering involved, and you have to have perseverance and press forward. And I think many, many people will find a point and come to a point in their lives where that happens. And so a lot of people have related on that level. And writing the book for me really began as a healing process. And in the beginning,
that's what I was going to ask you. It was a form of catharsis.
Yes. Yes. It was really a way for me to express myself. And it was, I felt like I was finally to get it all out of me when I was writing and typing it out. And it allowed me to move past some things in my life. And again, it doesn't diminish what happens. I don't pretend like it didn't happen, but I'm able to move past that.
Well, happy to hear about a happy ending and a continuing beginning. The book is Thread. It's written by Alicia Brady Smith with assistance from Debbie Bell. It's published by Tate Publishing. Continued good luck. I love happy endings. This
Thank
is Stu
you.
Taylor. Thanks for listening.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.